Walmart says goodbye to Britain and namaste to India. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. In Britain, the upscale Sainsbury's grocery chain is uniting with cut-price Asda to try and beat the competition. But this is also a story about the global ambitions of Walmart, Asda's parent company, which is pulled out of Germany and scaled back in Brazil. Neil Saunders, Managing Director of Global Data Retail in Arizona, explains why.
They are sizable markets, and they're markets in which Walmart has had a good presence, but they're just not delivering that growth. And what Walmart wants to do is to look to markets that are going to deliver a lot more growth for the future, and it isn't those mature Western markets. So what they're looking to do there is not necessarily pull out completely, but they're looking to form partnerships that really loosens their association with those countries. It means that they have an interest in them, but they're not solely reliant on those countries, and they're not the only business that's in that country. They're partnering with others.
One of the big countries where there's going to be lots of growth is India, and Walmart is trying to clinch a deal at the moment with an e-commerce company called Flipkart.
It's looking to high growth markets, to markets where there isn't as much competition, and to where it can get a toehold and really generate some great growth. And of course, India is one of those markets that is extremely large, but it's also maturing and it's becoming a much more professional market in terms of retail. And Walmart really wants a slice of that and wants to get in early. So it's looking for selective acquisitions. It wouldn't want to go in organically. It's far too difficult. But a company like Flipkart gives it that real boost to growth.
Are these changes also being driven by competition with Amazon globally?
Absolutely. I think Walmart is extremely conscious that although it's the world's largest retailer at the moment, it really does have Amazon nipping at its heels. Now, to stay ahead, it's got to make further investments. But to do that, it needs to have cash. So it needs to divest some of the interests that it's had abroad traditionally, and it needs to use that cash in a much more productive way to go where the growth is. And that's one of the ways it believes it can stay ahead of Amazon and really remain one of the global powerhouses of retailing.
Neil Saunders. Well, let's hear more about Walmart's Indian ambitions. The BBC's Samir Hashmi is in Mumbai.
Flipkart is the original online player in India. It was the first major company that started online retail with books initially in 2007. And then it started selling everything from smartphones, TVs to clothes, and even at a later stage, grocery. And then Amazon entered the market later and became the key rival. And now with Walmart, which is very close to signing a deal with Flipkart, where it will have controlling stake in the company, and the deal could be worth anywhere around $10 to $12 billion. I mean, just to give you a sense, Anu, if you look at the Indian online market, it's still at a very nascent stage. Online shopping is just $20 billion, but it's estimated that by 2026, the online market alone would be around $200 billion.
Samir Hashmi, let's do the numbers. Merger Monday is keeping global investors on their toes. Walmart shares slightly higher in pre-market trade, while Sainsbury's has surged nearly 15%. Meanwhile, shares of SoftBank, the owner of T-Mobile, popped more than 4% in Tokyo after news the U.S. telecom giant will merge with rival Sprint in a $26 billion deal, combining America's third and fourth largest mobile carriers. Britain prides itself on its commitment to fair play, but a recent scandal involving thousands of legal residents who were detained or threatened with deportation has seriously dented that ideal. Britain's Home Secretary Amber Rudd has been replaced after she resigned over her handling of the so-called Windrush scandal. The BBC's Rob Watson has more.
It involves nearly 60,000 people, and they came to the UK perfectly legally from the Caribbean in the decades after the Second World War. They were needed to fill the labour shortages. What happened was that successive governments, starting in around about 2000, tightened Britain's immigration laws, meaning that the emphasis was on the citizen to prove that they were here legally. Now, of course, there was no intention of catching up people who were here legally from the Caribbean. But of course, what happened is they didn't have the paperwork, they didn't have the documents. And so you had these terrible stories of people finding that they couldn't travel to go to a relative's wedding, that they lost their jobs, they lost their homes, they couldn't get cancer treatment.
Given that the Home Secretary here has resigned, does that mean anything for British immigration policy? And what does it mean for Theresa May?
the job at Interior Ministry, which she used to hold as one of the most difficult in government. People will also, of course, start asking questions. Well, who was there when immigration policy was tightened that caught the Windrush generation in the net? Well, it was Theresa May. As for what it means for immigration policy, well, I think Britain's immigration policy is in some chaos. Amber Rudd was supposed to be there trying to design this new immigration policy for when Britain leaves the European Union. The Brexit vote was partly about people having anti-immigration sentiment. Is that going to change now as a result of all of this? Are British attitudes going to be changed? Or will the new person in the post have to wrestle with this idea of both appealing to sort of a certain weariness with immigration amongst the population, but on the one hand, be mindful of what businesses are saying, which is, hang on a minute, you can't leave the European Union and shut the door.
Rob Watson there. Finally, a museum in France has discovered that more than half its paintings are fakes. The head of the Etienne Terrasse Museum, dedicated to the works of a local artist, said the finding was a catastrophe. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.